It's the Great Debate.
Ooh.
And it's our Halloween Spooktacular, second annual.
A chill over the studios. As the ghosts of debate past come to haunt us.
Everybody's in their Halloween costumes.
Do you think the ghosts of Lincoln and Douglas will come, and Kennedy and Nixon?
I've already had visions.
Will come to debate night?
I would think so.
Halloween?
Kennedy. Lloyd Benson.
Dan Quayle, you're still alive.
Is Benson alive? Yeah, he must be alive. Guys, we're here in our Halloween costumes. One of us is wearing a sports uniform.
I'm dressed as Larry Bird. Traditional Halloween
there's
costume.
There's been a debate about whether, you know, like where we stand on this. So I'd like to introduce a micro.
Please.
One of our famous Halloween micros. Now, for those of you who've heard our recent episode with special guest Amram, you'll know that I'm not a fan of the new iOS 10
timer. What is this? It
timer.
Doesn't seem to be that big a deal, and I'm trying to jump into it.
I'm dying to jump into it. And iOS, our obstacle right now.
But now
is
I've
iOS.
Got it. I've got it. I've got it figured out.
Go.
3 minutes on the clock. Dave King taking the pro. A sports uniform is not a good costume.
A sports uniform's not a good costume. Not for Halloween. This is Dave King. I'm taking the pro. A sports. What did we say? What's the word?
Uniform.
Uniform. God, I'm losing my mind. A sports uniform is, it's too basic, and it only represents one person. I don't like the idea of going as a actual person, unless they're a historical figure or like a creative fictional person. A sports uniform is what someone wears to work. Also, sports, like our heroes, our sports heroes, are generally not good people. They really shouldn't be celebrated, even though we do celebrate them. Look, I wore a Joe Montana costume for about 8 years in a row when I was a kid, and I loved it. But in hindsight, it was too easy, and it was lame. And it's just like celebrating all the wrong things about Halloween. There's nothing scary about it. There's nothing creative about it. There's nothing fun. That's why sports uniform, not a good costume.
Okay. First of all, Halloween has broadened well beyond the realm of the scary. You're allowed to wear anything that's identifiable as a costume, as a you're attiring yourself in something different.
Sure, you're allowed.
You're changing.
Issue isn't you're allowed
that's
to.
A good
not the
costume.
Topic.
First of all, we should thank our listener Chris S for sending
yes,
in this
you,
topic.
Chris S.
He phrased it as is not a costume.
Right.
Disagree. I think it is a costume. You're dressing up as something. Look, people dress up as cops, as firemen. Those are clothes people wear to work.
Yeah,
that's
I don't think those
fine.
Are particularly good,
good
costumes
people,
either.
I don't know why you went down that road. Like a lot of people dress as Dracula, who is not a good guy. It's still a perfectly fine costume.
Oh, but it's understood when you're dressing as Dracula that you're playing the villain, that it's fun to be a scary person. No one is wearing a basket is going to be dressed as like a celebrated football player. The expected reaction isn't like, oh, football player. It's, oh, cool, man. Awesome.
You put on a fun costume. You're playing with identity, which is what Halloween's all about.
But, okay, but put yourself in that position. Put yourself in that position. If you were even 12 years old, 25 years old, 50 years old, if you go to a party and someone shows up dressed as Steph Curry, are you going to be like, oh, that's awesome, man. Good costume. You put on a jersey.
I think you could definitely come up with an inventive Steph Curry costume. Well, you really commit to the shorts and the jersey and whatever, and you have your wife is dressed as Aisha Curry, whatever. That's funny
that's
and cool.
That's different. That's now you're adding
now
to it.
Now it's a couple's costume. Whatever.
Yeah, that's not the question. The question isn't it's a good costume to go as a athlete in uniform and his famous wife. The question is it a good costume just to wear the uniform? And it's not. It's lame.
I think.
And in fact, it specifies in the topic that it's only the uniform. And you're saying, oh, you can come up with a cool creative way to do it. You're probably thinking about like added props and stuff. This topic is the uniform itself is the costume. And I think that's dumb.
No, I think a uniform is part of a costume when you're going as John Elway or whatever, and you're allowed to dress up as a sports figure.
What are you
figure,
adding to
uniform?
Your awesome John Elway
a funny,
costume?
Look, John Elway's a tough one, but a funny
I'll
wig
say.
As I am wearing now as I'm dressed as Larry Bird.
Right. So you're going to wear your funny John Elway wig.
Dan, I want you to look over my Larry Bird costume and tell me that's not a good costume.
Well, part of what's making it a good costume is your white, pale white skin that kind of looks sort of Bostonian. Well,
yeah.
I don't know where Larry Bird was from, but he was very white.
First look Indiana.
And so that adds to it. Like, thank I don't, you. I mean, the jersey, the starter jersey or whatever it is, the C logo jersey is not that.
This is an official special. NBA jersey.
Yeah. How much did you pay for that?
A lot. Yeah. Langford wore this in a game.
You're kidding. Yeah. Lord, why really? Are you wearing it around
I mean,
right now?
I mean, for Halloween. You
if it was
commit.
One that he wore, I don't know. It's more of a. It, look, I feel like if you're wearing the jersey and then, like, maybe. Some jeans or something like that, and you're like Bird out after hours or something like that, and you it, or you're Steph Curry
Bird after hours.
Now that's lazy.
At a bar or something like that.
And some jeans.
If you can somehow convince
just
people,
like an idiot from Southie.
I guess my point is, if you can somehow convince people that you're Larry Bird without wearing the jersey, that's a great costume.
That's interesting.
But like a sports uniform is just like nah.
Yeah, it's lame.
You might as well. I don't know. Buy something off the shelf.
What are you going for Halloween, Dave?
I never dress up for Halloween. I generally Ever? Don't like Halloween. I mean, I did when I was younger, but I don't get it. Look, I'll be honest. All the focus now is not on me. I have a daughter now. Her name is Donut. She's a dog. And
are you going to take her out trick-or-treating?
I don't think we could. We can't, actually, because she's just a puppy, and she won't have had all her shots, so we can't really take her out in public because I think there'll be other dogs out. But certainly I'd like to dress her up and get some cute pics. I'm going to lean into this cute puppy situation.
Yeah, lean into it.
Not afraid of it. Healy, are you dressing up for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm dressed as Larry Bird.
No, I know, but on actual Halloween, are you going to wear something else, or are you going to wear just Larry Bird?
I might commit to this. I think, like, at a certain point, I'm past the age where I'm going to commit really heavily to putting on a Halloween costume.
Right. You know what's odd? I actually think you could make a more convincing Kevin McHale than a,
totally true.
Than
sure,
a Larry Bird.
A little less true. Identifiable, but yeah, I
it's
hear
funny,
that.
I feel like you have the hair texture of a Larry Bird, but the hair color of a Kevin
it's
McHale.
It's funny, yes. I think the Larry Bird is enough of a transformation that it's allowable as a costume. Like I think in general going as like a 49er is not a good costume.
I'll tell you what, if you do the Larry Bird plus a wig and shave, I'll go for it.
Okay.
Do you think Larry Bird is going to wear a costume this Halloween?
I doubt it.
Me too.
Guys, I have another debate.
Yeah.
Oh. Is it whether or not Larry Bird? No, let's not, I don't want to talk about that.
Let's get deep into Larry Bird. Yeah. It's another Halloween debate.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
part
yeah.
of our Halloween spooktacular here at the Great Debate.
I'm spooked already.
And that is, it's a very simple one. And that is Steve Healy taking the pro. We were talking earlier about, you know, is this the best time of year for the for Halloween? Mm-hmm. And I think this topic came out of it. The topic is Halloween is the spookiest night of the year.
It absolutely is. There's just the right amount of chill in the air. Also, it's the eve of All Hallows Day, November 1st. So there's like a semi-religious aspect to it. That's the origin of it. But there's some logic to the Christian calendar that was evolved over thousands of years that landed on this particular night being the night that spooks and stuff are out. It's dark. There's a little bit of chill in the air. November is coming with the cold that brings, but it's still well away from the holiday season when there's some light and some cheer in the air. So even though it gets a little bit darker, it's actually like more of an upbeat, less spooky time of year. There can be very strange weather patterns on Halloween because there's still a bit of the summer heat can come and go. Indian summer kind of stuff can happen. The winds change in late October. It's just all across the country and across Europe and across the places where Halloween is practiced, it is the spookiest night of the year. Dave.
I would like to start with one of the last things you said,
yeah.
which is that the winds change in late October.
Yeah,
and that's I true. Would like to say that my guess is that you have absolutely no empirical evidence
no,
that's actually
the case. No, that's a fact. California is not where Halloween originated. People have been practicing Halloween for years and years before it ever got to California.
Yeah.
They come here to have Halloween in late October when there is that's the highest likelihood of a desert wind, a Santa Ana wind, which brings this dry, hot air, spooks people out, gets them nervous and upset. It's a famously psychologically affecting phenomenon here in LA. It's just by chance that happens here in New England. I'm not as familiar with the weather patterns, but it does tend to be pretty windy and gusty in late October.
Okay, yeah. So in one part of the country, it can be windy in late October. Okay,
I mean, that's
just what you're trying to say.
What
that's
I great. Happen to discover about this particular part of the country, but I think all across this land, it tends to be windy in late
No, you said the winds change. You didn't say it tends to be windy. You said the winds change.
Sure, it's a change of season. There's hot air going out,
it
cold air
no
coming in.
It is no more
that's
a
when
change
it gets
of
windy.
Season than any any other day of the year except for like the solstice when it's the like dead middle of summer. Everything is changing at the same rate seasonally every day of the year. Here's the other, a couple of the things you said is that like it's getting cold out. Well, it's much colder in the middle of winter. It's also like you said,
that's what's attractively patterns. Spooky about it. It's getting cold is coming. It's like a spook just around the corner. It might be here. It might not be. It could be warm. It could be cold. Very unpredictable. Absolute
freezing cold is spookier than a slight chill.
We might
chill.
Call supernatural force at work here on Earth.
You can feel that any day of the year, and late October is not the best time of year to feel that. I would argue that even a month later, things get
November. It's just cold.
You know what? I'll buy into the idea. No, it's not as cold as it gets in late November. No matter where
you
are. Like
a month earlier is September 30th. It's very likely to be warm.
We're out of time?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to talk about full moons, New Year's Eve. This is ridiculous.
I mean, you spent so much time on the wind thing.
He did.
And he got smoked.
He did. I got smoked in that one. You but also, smoked. Like, of course, it's what other possible day is there? But
here's my thing about topics like these where there's an obvious answer. Like, it's a very high standard to convince me that you've made a good argument for something that's obvious. And I do believe that Healy made a good argument.
You know what I left on the table? Crunching leaves.
That's
underfoot.
What that's. And by the way, next yeah. words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Crunching leaves and twigs yeah. make things
no,
spookier.
But crunching,
and
as yeah, they yeah. rustle
no,
and blow.
Just
as creepy.
No, snow is very quiet yeah. and dreamy and.
No, it's not. I had an eighth grade teacher, an English teacher, who said, "Have I shared this?"
No.
She said, "How do you describe the sound of walking on snow without using the word crunch?"
Okay.
And I was like, oh, in eighth grade, I was like, wow, that's beautiful. And now that I look back on it, I'm like, what, was she dumb? There's a thousand different ways to do it. Like, she was trying to be poetic or something. It was like a lecture about how some words are just perfect for
okay,
some.
Okay, do it. Describe it.
What?
Without using the word crunch.
The sound of walking yeah. on snow? Yeah. It's like a crunchy shit. no, I don't know. Whatever.
Very good. Whew. This is hot.
Hot tops.
These are hot debates.
Get them while they're tops. Do we have one more?
Maybe? I got at least one more.
Oh, okay. Let's
do one more.
If not more than one more. But this is a simple one.
Do you think Magic Johnson is wearing a Halloween costume?
Yes, absolutely.
I do too. Yeah. I think he's a fun guy. I think he's yes. fun.
Yeah. He's funner than Bird. He's fun.
Maybe
and
it
Mikhail.
Would be funny if he went as Larry Bird.
I bet he has.
Yeah.
I bet he has. Too.
You know, I hope he has.
He did wear a Celtics jersey on the night that they retired Bird's number. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Dude, what if he had played for the Celtics? How weird would that have been?
Yeah, that'd be weird. That'd be weird. Hard to picture.
Yeah.
Change all of our
yeah.
memories.
Would the presidential election be the same candidates if Magic Johnson had played for the Celtics?
Interesting.
No,
like a butterfly flapping its wings thing here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would obviously be O'Malley versus Cruz. If Magic played for the Celtics?
Yeah.
For how many years?
Six.
Yeah, I mean, Cruz wins, O'Malley wins.
Yeah.
It's not even, I don't understand the other possibilities.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, here's a top for you.
Yeah.
Healy, take the pro. Why not, right?
What the hell? Take the pro. Get into it.
Halloween is a good name for Halloween.
Halloween
Wait,
is
what?
So perfect.
Is your mind
what could
by
be
that?
A better name? Spooky Night? No, Halloween
that
is
was
great.
Good.
It has this like old English kind of mysterious witch language quality to it. It's een is not a word that we use anymore. Hallow is a word we use quite rarely, but it has this kind of spell-like quality that it casts over the evening. Hallow, hollow. There's some good sounds there, some good air of mystery and spookiness. Een is so weird. It's great. You can throw the apostrophe in if you want. It tells you a lot about the mood of the day without referring to it, which is what's so powerful about it. You could call it Ghost Night, Candy, Spook Night, whatever, but that's just very boring, has no resonance. Halloween is perfect.
Dave. The apostrophe is a great point that I hadn't thought of. Any name that can be spelled two different ways with or without an apostrophe is automatically problematic.
No, you're crazy. It's fun and interesting and offers more possibility.
It offers one more. I would say it offers confusion and like
confused.
Well, not a confusion about what the proper spelling is, not what the act. Not hey, no one is looking at the word Halloween with or without an apostrophe.
Confusion
and saying, like,
is the whole mood of Halloween. You're confused about who people are. They're wearing costumes. They're ghost real. It's confusing.
It's not. No, it's, you're wrong. Confusion is not the mood. Is not the intended mood of Halloween. The what it's supposed to be about is being, as you said earlier, on edge, being chilled a little bit, being confused. Scared a little bit. Confused is not that way. Clarity is always for the better, especially when you're naming.
No, not in a spooky situation.
No, but we're talking about the name of something. The name Halloween doesn't actually tell us anything about what is going on that night. It comes from All Hallows Eve, which has no relevance to what we're actually doing anymore. And in fact, people, that like only makes it like less clear what the purpose of the night is.
When you know that, it gives the night all this more extra spooky power. The saints are all asleep. There's only demons. This is their night of running rampant.
But no one actually believes that those things are actually true. It's become
okay, but it's a story that's cool.
I understand that it's a story, but the story is totally divorced from what the meaning of the actual holiday today is, and that's problematic. So
it's a way better name than Christmas, by the way.
I'm sorry?
It's a way better name than Christmas.
No one's arguing about whether or not Christmas is a good name or not. That's not even on the table. But the point is, there's two major problems with Halloween. One is that it says nothing. It doesn't give you any sense of what's actually going on in the day. And the other is that if you are able to penetrate that sort of like to do the research, so to speak, of what's involved in the name Halloween, you realize that it has no actual connection to what we currently do, except for in this vague way of like you said.
There's a very clear linear connection to what we now do. It's the saints are all asleep. They haven't risen yet or whatever, and there's spooks running
that
around.
That is not connected
to kids. So
dress up
like a spook.
Yeah, but that's not what happens today. Kids dress as Harry Potter and they just want candy. It's all about that.
What would you rename?
Yeah,
Halloween
dude,
day?
You can't not give us some other options.
Just even a hint of something we could use.
Okay, give me a second on
okay.
this.
Scare night.
No.
Fright night.
Fright night is something.
Fright night is better.
Yeah.
I think we should rename it The Purge.
The Purge.
And just confuse people a little bit in an even scarier way, if that's what we're going for. You
very
mean like the
dangerous.
Movie? Maybe.
Is
very
The Purge
dangerous.
In Trump's platform?
Yeah, he adopted it. He slipped it into the RNC platform
right.
in Cleveland.
No one was paying attention to that.
Everyone was so distracted by the wall and all the other crazy stuff. He slipped the purge in.
It will be the fault of the journalists for not exposing the fact that the purge is in the RNC platform.
Yeah, we're screwed, man. Man, I mean, what is
Dave,
like,
do you think could, and do you think really there could be a better name for Halloween than Halloween?
I think there could be. I wish I could come up with something. I actually like. Much like the last topic, I agree with the pro here. I mean, Halloween
that's what
is
asking.
A pretty
it's
good
a,
name.
Nailed
it's weird.
It, right?
Yeah.
Kind of nailed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
who
it's,
came up with that?
I think it might be the best holiday name if
it's
I really
great.
Were hard
in a lot of ways. Yeah. There's not a better one. New Year's Day is just like that's what it is.
Beats Fourth of July. That's for
Fourth of July. That's what it is.
I think, especially if you're a kid, there's this element of like Halloween.
Tell me
more.
Everything.
I get to what, and I'm dressing up. What is this? You know, it's pretty solid.
It's tight.
Okay, one more. Let's do one more.
Yes.
Yeah, one more.
Why not, right?
One
okay.
more Crunch Bar. One more Charleston Chew.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What is your favorite? Well, I'll save this, actually. I want to introduce the topic. Healy taking the pro?
Yeah.
As per usual?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another Halloween micro. 3 minutes on the clock. Kids should eat as much candy as they can on Halloween.
Look, Halloween, you're going to get a ton of candy. You're going to get more than you can eat. It's good for kids to have the experience one time of eating as much candy as they possibly can, getting sick from it, being revolted, challenging themselves, seeing what their limits are. This is what being a kid is all about, experimenting, having these experiences of extremes. I think kids should definitely try and put away as much candy as they can. You'll still, if you did a good job trick-or-treating and you were efficient, you'll still have plenty of candy left over, hopefully, if you're like in a really poor neighborhood. I'm sorry. I will happily contribute to a fund to send you some candy, but you should have at least one night of your life of trying to eat as much candy as possible. I think Halloween is the time to do it. Kids, go for it. Do it. See how much candy you can eat.
Terrible lesson to teach kids. I understand your argument that there's benefits in terms of like experimentation and that sort of thing. But I think you are really targeting that or envisioning children of an older age than most trick-or-treaters, because I think that experimentation is really of that kind is really something that we should really only be... the candy kind.
I'd say about 8 is the age I'm talking to.
Look. Yeah, well, that's absurd. I mean, children, when a child is 8 years old, they still need to be disciplined. Their behavior patterns are still formed, their dietary patterns.
Agreed.
Night of binging. An 8-year-old child, here's the problem. An 8-year-old child does not understand cause and effect well enough to understand that if he eats one night.
When the lesson will hit you home.
No, I think you're wrong. I think you need to be a little bit older. But I want to bring up a couple of the things. A child who actually eats as much candy as he possibly can could really get sick in a way that like requires a hospital visit or some sort of medical intervention. It's not going. It really could go beyond simply teaching someone a lesson. On top of that, you're setting a bad example for children, and more importantly, there's an opportunity cost here. This is a teachable moment for children. I believe that the best thing that you can teach a child is that this is a when you're given an abundance of something, this is a chance to. Equalize, or I'm not sure exactly what phrase I'm looking for, but basically, why not give some of this candy away? Certainly, you don't need all
how
this candy.
How boring. How tedious. Oh, what a great lesson for every other night of the year. But Halloween is a night of decadence and excess, and the way kids can have that is candy.
No, I don't think that children should be taught decadence and excess, even on Halloween. I think they should be taught philanthropical skills and understanding compassion.
Yes,
and
they 364 days of the year. But on Halloween, they should be taught to break
norms. But on 364 days of the year, you don't end up coming home with more than you need. Halloween is the one day when that happens, almost regardless of how old you are, of what child you are, of what costume you wore. And it's very easy to bring that extra candy to a food bank, to a
food bank,
wherever.
What's your M&M's? Food bank?
They'll take them. Mm. They'll take your M&M's.
So Healy presents this compelling argument that it's good to binge one night a year to test your limits and learn where they stand and maybe learn a valuable lesson about what you should and shouldn't need. And then Dave presents an argument that is basically like, it's a time to teach temperance. And for moderator Medina, it's just an obvious choice.
Binging?
Yeah, one night a year is so fun. Sounds so fun. Sounds exciting.
You know what? Here's the thing, guys. Sugar to an 8-year-old is the same as alcohol is to a college kid, as the same as drugs can be to someone, a teenager, someone even an adult of any age. And you tell those people that binging one night a year is okay.
Well, I think the value is as an 8-year-old, you'll learn, I love Kit Kats. If I eat 12 of them, I'm going to feel disgusting. So I should learn to eat one Kit Kat.
You are just as likely to remember how awesome it feels eat a
you'll
ton
feel
of
terrible.
You will feel terrible.
There's no way you're going
to
feel
Here's
good.
The problem. You're not listening to me. You will feel terrible the morning after. But while you're eating the Kit Kats, much like while you're drinking and while you're doing drugs, you will feel fantastic.
I think my
and that's
six,
the danger of teaching.
Feel
you start to feel bad very quickly.
Yes,
after
I don't think
candy.
An 8-year-old will necessarily connect that to like to. I've learned my lesson. Now I won't eat more than 5 Kit Kats in the future. In fact, you may have just taught a child, I can eat 5 Kit Kats and I feel great. Mom, where's my 5 Kit Kats? Oh, you told me the point of this whole thing was that I was going to eat till I'm sick. Well, now I know where the threshold is. It's my 6th Kit Kat. So 5 Kit Kats every night. This is great. We know what my tolerance is. Maybe if I start eating more every night, I could build up to 8 Kit Kats, 10 Kit Kats. Where's your messiah now?
You're picturing an 8-year-old that's both very smart and very dumb.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm picturing an 8-year-old that's smart but also doesn't fully understand the consequences of his actions, which I believe is actually very true of a lot of 8-year-olds. Mm. They're smarter often than we give them credit for, but they don't understand certain things, certain causalities the way that adults do.
Mm.
I would argue there are many adults who don't understand causality.
I'll absolutely agree with you. That's a great point.
Maybe we should all binge on candy one night a year. Dave, if you... What is the candy that you find most difficult to prevent yourself from binging on?
I'm not really a binger on candy, but I do love candy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if the question is, what candy is it the hardest for me to say no to?
Yes.
It's usually a Kit Kat or, like, a York Peppermint Patty or a Milky Way, something in that area. Those are all just home runs for me.
Kit Kat has risen for me above really the fray. Good. And I found that it may be my candy of choice now. Would never have guessed that.
I'm going to, like, I love all those candies. I like them. This isn't my favorite candy, but it has an interesting connection here. Skittles. Uh-huh. I love putting Skittles in my mouth and chewing them up and eating them. And then I always feel bad afterwards.
Yeah, I know, like, what you mean.
You're paying a price for every Skittle that's not worth the joy. And yet I continue to do it. So for me, that's the most bingeable.
Interesting. That's good. Deans?
I mean, I love the mini Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, yeah.
As I think that's that. Although Kit Kat is like the thing on the shelf that you might reach for, when the pile of the Reese's peanut butter cups are there, I just find them irresistible.
Has there been a new candy? Like, do 8-year-olds have a candy that they love that we never had?
The only candy I can think of that has come on the market in the last, say, 15 years that I feel like is making a bit of a dent is Take Five.
Mm. Oh, tell me more.
I haven't had it.
You haven't had it? It's got like a pretzel situation going on in there.
Yeah, it's five things, right?
It's five things, and I don't remember it at all from a kid, from being a kid, and I think that's it's like not unpopular.
I think Take Five may have existed when you were a kid, but just wasn't marketed right and didn't get to us.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, guys, I hope everybody's getting their sports uniforms and other Halloween costumes on and preparing for the spookiest night of the year and stocking their candy jars for the inevitable onslaught of trick-or-treaters. I really enjoyed this episode.
I had some fun at the episode. I hope people will tweet us their good Halloween costumes.
Yes. I hope people weren't scared by this episode.
Yeah, it was a little too scary.
Very scary.
Tweet us your costumes. Tweet us your costume plans. And tweet us your favorite Halloween memories.
That'd be great.
Your candy, your favorite Halloween candy memories specifically. And thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.